In Unitarian Universalist communities, we believe that each person, each one of you sitting right here, right now, grown-ups and children too, each one of you has your own unique way of caring for this planet and those who share it. Each person has their own ministry. When we work together, each using our unique gifts of caring toward the common cause of our mission, transforming self and world through compassionate action, that is what we call our shared ministry. Like in the song we just sang, when we combine our gifts, when we walk together, work together, sing together, we can indeed create a brighter day for everyone. Therein lies the power of connection. Here to kindle the flame of our faith this morning are our honored chalice lighters this month, Barb and Ado Nyland. In our February newsletter, you can read about the many ways in which Barb and Ado have contributed to our shared ministry over the years, tending to gardens and grounds, music making, event planning, cooking for the Sandy Merriman Women's Shelter, fundraising, working with children. I was especially tickled to learn that for a children's class, Barbara here had played the role of Professor Sprout from the Harry Potter books. She reported, quote, "We planted seeds and bulbs and made cuttings, divisions, vinegars, and monstrous muddy messes out on the deck." With gratitude for Barb and Ado's ministries and for the ways, great and small, that everyone in this community cares for the larger whole, I say, blessed be. I know that yesterday was Valentine's Day. I'm wondering if anyone here knows what other holiday is coming up this week on Thursday, February 19th. Raise your hand. Oh, this one's not on. She said her mom's birthday. Her mother is Shauna Lingood, whose birthday is Thursday, February 19th. Teo knows another holiday that may be on Thursday.
Why is birthday?
Somebody else's birthday is also on Shauna's birthday.
My budgie's birthday.
And another birthday. Okay. So this, what I'm thinking of is not exactly a birthday. Do you guys want a hint?
Yeah. Happy New Year.
You want to say that, David?
Chinese New Year.
Yes, Chinese New Year starts this year on Thursday. And there are many different... You love Chinese New Year. Woohoo! There are many different stories about the beginning of the various New Year traditions. According to one story, long ago, the Buddha invited all the animals to come and meet him at the new year. The first 12 animals who arrived each got a year named after them. So we now have the year of the rat, the year of the ox, the year of the tiger, and so on. They say that each animal brings to its year its own special gifts. For example, the snake is wise. The dog is loyal. The rooster is talented. This year, 2015, will be the year of the goat, or some say the sheep. The goat is said to be gentle, artistic, and loving. So we can all be artistic this year. Just as the animals of the zodiac story bring many different gifts to the world, we Unitarian Universalists believe that each of you brings different gifts to the world. You each have your own special way of caring for people and the planet that we all share. Maybe you are especially good at listening. Maybe you make people laugh. Maybe you are especially good at comforting friends when they are sad. When you use your gifts to care for others, we call that your ministry. Reverend Shauna and I do ministry with this congregation full time, but you can do your own kinds of ministry anywhere. If you love making art, you can make cards for people to show that you care about them. If you enjoy gardening, you could grow your own food and plant more trees. That's good for the earth. If you are good at noticing when others are being treated unfairly, you could speak up for them. The first step is to figure out what your own special gifts are. What do you love doing? What skills have you learned? One way to ask this question is, what do your friends and relatives say that they appreciate about you? I wonder if any of you can answer that now. Can you think of anything your friends and family members say that they appreciate about you? Your own special gifts.
My art.
Your art. That is a special gift. How about any others of you? What do your friends say they really appreciate about you? Or what do your parents say they really appreciate about you? Is anyone here especially thoughtful or loving or giving? I bet all of you do that sometimes. As you grow, you will discover new things you love to do, new skills and gifts, and you will discover new ways to use those gifts and skills to care for others. When you grow up, you might even find a passion that leads you to a job, a career, like teaching, or being a veterinarian who takes care of animals, or working for environmental causes. We in your church family are here to support you as you figure it all out. One of my favorite exercises for discerning your own ministry begins with a list of questions to ponder. Questions aimed at uncovering your particular passions and your particular gifts. Here is a sample. When have you felt most alive? What were the times of your life that you would most like to repeat? If you were assured of not failing, what is the wildest thing you can imagine doing? What movies or other stories have moved you the most? What do your best friends say they like about you? What do they see as your unique way of giving love? I wonder how you might answer any one of those questions, and what your answer would tell you about your particular gifts and passions. I'll tell you about opportunities to delve into those questions in depth later. For now, I'll just give two examples of how passions and gifts can come together in a particular ministry. I have a friend whose passions include travel, religion, particularly Judaism, Hinduism, and Buddhism, tending to her vast network of friends, and watching soap operas. Her gifts include a great memory for story details, a very sharp mind, and the amazing ability to explain complex concepts in clear, everyday, easy-to-understand language. Her ministry is teaching world religions to college kids in Ohio. She can retell religious history and Hindu myths with a compelling interpersonal intrigue that rivals the best Hollywood writers. Her students love her. And they each graduate from her school with horizons broadened and hearts opened to worlds and ways they might not have otherwise known, let alone embraced. I was also going to tell you about my stepfather's passion for books and ideas and how he is proprietor of a ministry called the Old Professor's Bookshop. But that page is too long and time is short. Ask me about it later. You too have probably used your gifts and followed your passions to do your own kinds of ministry in the world, maybe in your career, maybe as a volunteer. Church is a good place to reflect on such things. It is also a good place to try out different ministries that may call to you. I have asked three congregants to share with you their experiences. Barbara, Forrest, and Lily, please come on forward.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Boyle, and I'm a member of this community. My friends tell me that I'm a good listener and sometimes offer insightful feedback. Sometimes. It's true that I enjoy listening to people's stories, as well as the process of discerning what might be helpful in a given moment. Like many of us here, I long for connection with others and to somehow make a difference in my world. Presently, I would describe my ministry in life as a ministry of caretaking, which seems to fit with my involvement in our church community. As the care and concern person for my neighborhood, Esquimalt neighborhood, as well as the care and concern liaison for Esquimalt, Western, and James Bay neighborhoods, I've had a number of opportunities to use my skills of listening and discernment towards assisting my neighborhoods in meeting the needs of some of our neighbors. When neighbors know what might be helpful, those of us who are able step forward. My greatest joy in this ministry has been the realization that it can't be done alone. It takes a whole neighborhood, and sometimes beyond the neighborhood, for which I'm deeply grateful. I have discovered that is when connections become a reality.
Forrest Smith, one of my shared ministries. My friends say I'm soft, with a big heart, a pushover, a wuss. You can judge that for yourself. I do cry in movies, get emotional easy, love poems like pieces, and I have a real soft spot for children. In fact, I enjoy just being in the presence of children, appreciating how free and imaginative they are, and they inspire and enlighten me. Each child is unique and sees life in their own way. I love to discover what interests them. The questions they ask say a lot about them. I also appreciate that, like me, the children are both concerned and passionate about the environment and feel compelled to care about this planet and the interconnected web of life that we all share. So you could say that my ministry is one of nurturing. I'm a nurturer of growing children and our natural world. My ministry and these two passions come together normally on Sunday mornings, not this one. I co-teach the Questers class, grades 5 to 7. This year, as a project, we created a worm compost bin. The kids love doing things. We drilled holes in a Rubbermaid container in the lid, got a boot tray to put underneath it to catch any drippings, filled it with chewed up newspaper from the office, dirt and worms from my composter at home, and voila, we had it. All were engaged and had fun. From time to time, we'll check on the worms, and I did this morning, and they're doing just fine. And feed them new vegetables and scraps, apple cores, you name it. The blue bin is out in the back door behind the kitchen in the office area. Check it out for yourself and see how it's making out. Anybody can make a worm composter and do their part for the environment, and as a bonus, produce excellent soil conditioner and dressing for gardens and plants. It's simple, educational, and the worms do all the works for free. If you want to know how, ask one of the children in Questers.
I want to give you a visual first that isn't written down here. I had a costume that I had designed that I was going to wear today, but it got shot down. And that was a cowboy hat, one of my preferences, and my cowboy boots, and one of Emma's lassos, and I have new jingling spurs. But anyway, so it was shot down. So that's what I wanted to wear for you today, because fun is really important to me as much as anything else. Reverend Melora asked, "What is your ministry?" And I respond, "Today I am before you as the coordinator of the ushers. As such, I see my ministry as being in logistics. I offer support and clarity to the ushers, who in turn provide support to those who come to the sanctuary to participate in the service. My strategy is compassionate action. And there's a poem that illustrates the essence of what I mean when I say compassionate action. It guides me in my relationships as I work with the ushers I support. The poem came to me through two beloved sources. The first source is this religious community. The other is that of Marshall Rosenberg's Compassionate Action Organization. Both communities brought the writings of John O'Donohue into my life. This piece is entitled For Love in a Time of Conflict and comes from Benedictus, a book of blessings by John O'Donohue. When the gentleness between you hardens and you fall out of your belonging with each other, may the depths that you reached hold you still. When no true word can be said or heard, and you mirror in each other the script of hurt, and even the silence becomes raw and torn, may you hear again an echo of your first music. When the weave of affection starts to unravel and anger begins to sear the ground between you, before this weather of grief invites the seed of bitterness to find root, may your souls come to kiss. Now is the time to be gracious, to allow a curiosity beyond thought and hurt. Reach out sure hands to take the chalice of your love and carry it carefully through this echoless waste until this winter pilgrimage leads you towards the gateways to spring.
I invite you to use this meditative time to ponder your own ministries. Breathe in, breathe out. If you wish, you may use these four questions as a guide. What are your particular gifts? Perhaps it will help to think of what your friends say they appreciate about you. What are your passions? What do you enjoy? What do you care about deeply? In what way do you use these gifts to care for others, to strengthen the web of connection that holds us all? Are there new ways you'd like to use your gifts, or any new gifts you'd like to develop? In what ways would you like to grow? Breathe in, breathe out. Discerning your ministry is step one. Practicing your ministry is step two. This is not always easy, even here at church. There is often a learning curve, learning not just the ministry itself, but the context, getting to know new systems, the people, the organizational culture. Even in the smoothest, kindest organizations, there are bound to be bumps along the way. I asked our worship associate today to share her experience with you.
I started coming to First Unitarian about 12 years ago and felt an instant connection to the principles and philosophy of UU Values. For the first 7 years, I more or less flew under the radar, not committing to any one activity, attending Sunday services, participating in occasional workshops and spiritual programs, contributing financially with a yearly pledge as a friend. In 2010, I made the decision to become a member. My reluctance to become a full member was essentially due to the fact that I wasn't sure I could devote the time to any particular committee or activity. I did accept the invitation to be a service leader when the role simply meant reading some sections from a preset script. I was still working full-time, and I felt that was all I wanted to give. I did worry, however, that I was perhaps not contributing as much as I should, and someone would notice and call me on it.
Reverend Malora now assures me that is not how shared ministry works. But I didn't know that then. About a year ago, I was approached by a member of the nominating committee asking me if I would put my name forward for a board position. In my eagerness to please and my naivety of possibly not asking the right questions, I agreed to let my name stand. I felt it was time. Although I was still working 4 days a week in a fairly stressful job, I thought I could handle the responsibilities of this new challenge. For reasons I cannot really explain, I forged ahead and dove into the deep end. Imagine my astonishment when I realized I had taken on a very responsible chair position when I somehow thought it was a committee position. I felt like I had gone from a slow saunter to full speed ahead. Then the new worship associate program was launched. It sounded like my kind of thing. As I already had been a service leader, I assumed being a worship associate would be the next logical progression, so I stepped up. In practice, I discovered that this was another huge commitment, a second monthly meeting, and a fair amount of preparation, including writing pieces like this one. And the emails. My inbox exploded. What was the shape of my ministry? To be honest, a lot of frustration and anxiety at not being able to give my full attention to all that I thought I should be giving. After a recent conversation with Reverend Malora, I see now that I just signed up for too much too quickly. This fall, in addition to the board and worship associates meetings, I had also agreed to be a canvasser during the generosity campaign. I attended the BC Regional Fall Gathering weekend, plus the extra day of training for worship associates, and I was involved in the weekend-long lay chaplaincy training, not to mention the wonderful six-week workshop on Thursday evenings, led by Reverend Shauna. It was all good stuff, but it was too much stuff. And as Reverend Malora points out, overwhelm has a way of poisoning even the things that would otherwise be enjoyable. I still need to work on how to pull back to a manageable load. But as I've thought about it, I've realized that even in the midst of my frustration, something happened along the way. I made new friends, new connections with members I had never spoken to before. This is an amazing congregation, talented and generous, with a deep well of passion and desire to make this community, both locally and globally, a better place. This has been an important learning experience for me, one that tests my patience and yet is ultimately fulfilling and rewarding. My goal now is to readjust my involvements so I can enjoy again doing the ministry that I care about with a fraction of the emails.
As I said, even once you've discerned your ministry, practicing it can be a challenge. I've discovered some guidelines, though, that can help ease the way. They are helpful in considering the ministries you practice in the wider world, as well as those you practice here in our congregation. One, pick your passion. Don't say yes out of obligation. It hurt my heart when I heard Susan's concern that people would think she wasn't contributing as much as she should and might call her on it. I don't want people doing things out of obligation. That creates a culture of resentful, cranky, exhausted people. Nobody wants that. So I say, pick your passion. Only do things that you are glad to do. Do things you're excited about, things you care about, things that will help you grow in ways that you wish to grow. Recall the words of Brother David Sindelrast as quoted by David White. The antidote to exhaustion is not necessarily rest. The antidote to exhaustion is wholeheartedness. Guideline number two, do one thing at a time and start slowly. You don't have to do everything at once. If you're excited about working with the children and environmental activism in the sanctuary decor, you can teach 1 year, work with the EAT team the next year,
and join the Arts and Aesthetics team the next. I advise newcomers to dip in a toe and slowly wade in before diving into anything. In orientations and considering membership gatherings, we give guidance on how to make meaningful connections through small groups and community events. After folks have been members for a full year or more, at the new member reunion, you get to delve into the fun of discerning your gifts and passions and considering which ministries you might want to try. This is when we work with those questions like, when have you felt most alive, and what stories have moved you the most? The next new member reunion will be in early May. Let me know if you'd like to sign up. Guideline number 3, rotate regularly. I must admit, as a congregation, we are not as good at this yet. The idea is that every person will have the chance to try out lots of different ministries, one at a time, and that no one will get stuck in any one role for more than a handful of years. We have had several faithful souls in our congregation that have stayed in a given role, perhaps longer than they wish to be in it, because they feel committed and responsible, and they have not found replacements. Just as no one need take on a role out of sheer obligation, no one need stay in a role out of sheer obligation. This is an issue we will address on Saturday at the Shared Ministry Retreat for Leaders on February 21st from 1 to 4:30 p.m. The Shared Ministry Retreat, by the way, is open to everyone. We will be using those passion questions to reassess our respective ministries. If you feel you are ready to consider a new ministry, or if you'd like to step down from one and step up to another, I invite you to join us. Jennifer Young is providing baked goods. Now you're all going to come. The fourth and final guideline, take a sabbatical every now and again. Perhaps as you listen to the meditation questions, your answers went something like this. What are my particular gifts? I don't know. I'm too tired to think about that. What do I enjoy? Sleeping. What do I care about deeply? Just my family and friends, really. I don't have energy for much more. If the questions we've been asking don't uncover your passion so much as deep exhaustion, pay attention to that exhaustion. Take a break. If you are a church leader, maybe you need a sabbatical. Take a year off from committees and projects. Just come on Sundays and attend the programs you enjoy. Sabbath is a religious ritual for a reason. Sabbath is a time to rest, yes. More specifically, Sabbath is a time to lean into that which renews your spirit. You've heard this before, but we repeat it again and again because though we know it's true, it's sometimes hard to heed in real life. You cannot care for others very well if your own stores are depleted. Ideally, you would take a whole day of Sabbath every week. But if that's not tenable, you can try for moments of Sabbath throughout your day. Curling up with a book at night. Taking 15 minutes in the morning to sit by a window with a cup of tea, singing along to a song you love in the car on the way to work, or listening with your eyes closed on the bus. Think over a typical day or week in your life. What moments are most restful, rejuvenating, and renewing? Where do you find spiritual renewal? Lean into that. Make space for that. Once you have given yourself adequate rest and care, your passions will reemerge. I believe that about each one of you. There are things you care about, things you love doing. Whether you need to rest before you can hear it, or whether it rings out loud and clear, your ministry calls. Listen.